Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DeathRowProducts.com video game podcast. As always, the podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it is brought to you by ThinkGeek, where right now you'll be able to purchase the new Portal 2 inflatable personality cores. And just little inflatable personality cores of Wheatley and the space one.
So the popular ones.
Yes, the main ones. The one... Yeah, the one voiced by that guy from The Office, British one, and the one guy from Nolan North. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so those are available on ThinkGeek.com right now. Click the link at the bottom page or any of the banner ads on the site and go check that shit out. Plus a whole bunch of other amazing things. Things including a buy one, get one 50% off t-shirt sale. So yeah, check them out.
They have sales all the time, man.
Yep. So hey, check them out. They're awesome. ThinkGeek.com. Stuff for the smart masses. While our stuff is not for smart people or for masses or stuff, really, we do have our own stuff. So head over to DestoProds.com/store and check that shit out. As always, we are... If any of you out there want to make some art for us or be willing to make some art for us, we'd be more than happy to take that art. Yes.
Art?
Yes. If you do have some art that you think we would like or would just, or you just have some art you want to get rid of, then send it on over to bowiemont@destoprods.com or post it in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If we like it, we'll make it into a product on the store and give you a cut of the profits from that product. Priority will be given to Desto Prods jokes or references or something, but if you just have some art that you think would be cool, don't hesitate to send it our way. I'm your host, the Dead Man, Joe Bay Day. We have Bowiemont.
Hello.
Onciest is not with us because... That's pretty much, he never, whenever he is not on his podcast, he never really gives a reason as to why he was not there. Like he's online, apparently, but I guess he's got other stuff, or is not there, or something.
Yeah, online, like, I'm online 24/7.
Well, you're not online 24/7, I've seen you, like, go offline many, many, many times. I'm online 24/7.
That's the occasional time I'll be like, oh shit, I'm gonna be gone for the weekend. I keep myself signed in, even when I'm not home. Or in bed.
Yeah, I don't really like signing off. I don't know why, I just don't like signing off. You know, like, if I need to, then I'll sign off, but... Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about video games. Fuck. So yeah, Bowiemont, what have you been playing?
Alright, fuck, what have I been playing? Skyrim, of course, but, you know, what haven't I said about that?
It's Skyrim.
Yeah, I went back to Left 4 Dead 2 just a little while ago. Okay. And, it's got some issues going on. It's got some problems. Particularly with the mutations. The one mutation I was playing was Tank, because it's my favorite mutation. I fucking love playing it. And it was encountering this glitch where it would occasionally cause other special infected to spawn other than the tanks. And also the pain pills would be replaced with health kits. Luckily, you could spot this, and if you restarted the chapter, it would fix it, but, like, it's a real pain in the ass. It's like, oh, we got health kits here. Time to restart.
Yeah, so with Tank, that was, like, all special infected are tanks, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's versus, but all the special infected are tanks, and you gotta just fucking run. Okay, the other one, another glitch I was encountering was one that I've encountered before, but like I thought they'd fixed it, but apparently they haven't, is that on No Mercy, there's this one spot where you can spawn as the tank, and it's been like this since Left 4 Dead 1. I don't know why they didn't fix it before porting it over to Left 4 Dead 2, but there's one spot you can spawn as the tank where you can't get to the survivors, and you can't die.
What? Okay, what? Why? Is it just like you're in like some weird place where the geometry won't let you move?
You're, you know how there's those fences and there's little bits of highway behind them and special infected can climb over them?
Yeah.
Yeah, the tank can't climb over this one for some reason.
But it can't just run through it?
No.
Okay, it seems a bit weird that there is a creature that can, like, rip chunks of the ground out and throw them at you, but he can't get through a fence.
Well, you can never get through the fences. That's what the tank's like. The tank cannot get through the fence.
Fucking
I don't
tanks.
Know why.
Maybe he has, like, maybe he respects, like, property boundaries. You don't know. Sorry, the joke was terrible. Moving on.
So, another thing I noticed is that all the people who play now are assholes. I don't mean, like, they yell at you or they're in general assholes. They all use... There's always people using exploits to win.
Ah, they're hackers.
It's not exactly hacking, it's exploiting. But, like, the point of tanks, in my mind, is not to win. The point of tanks is... It's good to win. It's nice to win. But the point of tanks is to have some fun, you know, just running from the tanks, spazzing out, not knowing what's going on. Of course, there are people who are going to take the fun out of it. So these are a couple of exploits that I know of. I don't know exactly how to do them myself. I never would. Well, the one I know how to do. The one is spawn manipulation. This is where, instead of running as fast as you can when you get out of the safe room, you stick to a certain spot. If you stick to that certain spot, the tanks will spawn in or around the safe room. But if you're in the exact perfect spot, that's really far away from you, and they can never catch up.
Okay.
Which sucks when you're the tank, because then you get to play as the tank and not kill anyone. You get to just run and never ever reach them.
Yeah,
and there's
that's...
no suicide button.
Yeah, that,
and in this mutation, there's no control meter, so you don't lose being the tank for not reaching the survivors. So there's no way to fix that.
Wow, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that one you don't see a lot, but the one you see all the fucking time is such a simple exploit. It's vote spamming. Basically, you continually do votes in order to bog people down by making them vote no and to block their screen. This is a really good one to do if you're already dead. It's real easy. You don't have to worry about dying while you're in the middle of your stupid fucking voting. But they'll vote on the stupidest shit just over and over again. They're not hoping for the vote to pass. They just want to fuck you up. I gotta reach over and press back to vote no. I can't see. Shit.
Why do they do that? Like, is it just for grieving's sake, or...?
It's to mess up the other players. It's to make sure that you're slowed down enough that their team gets the advantage.
Fucking griefers, man.
I hate anyone who uses any type of exploit in a game like that. It's like, just play the fucking game.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game as it is. You know what it's like? It's like that kid at laser tag.
Fuck that kid.
It's not fun to just pin me against the wall and shoot me. How is this fun? Why are you laughing like a fucking maniac? You're honestly scaring me.
Yeah, but you see, in...
how is this fun?
Yeah, but like in like Left 4 Dead, you have the option of possibly finding them and shooting them repeatedly. With that kid, you can't really do anything or else you'll be the asshole.
Yeah, well, it's the same concept though. Like, why is this
same
fun
concept
for you? Well, how is this at all fun for you to do this? Like, games need
their mom
a challenge.
Their mom probably drank when they were pregnant.
Well, at least for that one kid at laser tag, yeah.
God, yeah. It's like his mom drank and dropped him a couple times when he was like, newborn.
Yeah, the thing that makes the game fun is to have the challenge to play it, to work your strategies, but once you start using exploits, you start taking the fun out by making it too goddamn easy.
Yes. Yeah, like, I've never really gotten, like, the point of, like taking exploits or hacking. Like, there's this one game I played a while back. It was called Rumble Fighter. And, you know, there's this one mode, it's called Caged Beast, where you were, like, two people would, like, so it was, like, a team v team thing. Like, it was eight members on a team. Wait, no, it was five members on each team. Yeah, and so then it would start out with two people in the middle of the ring, and then the rest in cages along the edge. And there was actually a glitch you could do where you just, like, sprint towards the top of the screen and then just, like, slide kick down, and then you do it a couple times, you'd be able to, like, slide your way out of the cage. And you're like, I would do that one, but it was but the only reason I did that one was so that I could actually play the game and not spend, like the matches were only, like, 5 minutes. I didn't want to spend three of those minutes in a cage.
Right.
Like those glitches and stuff I can understand, but stuff that, like, you just described and what I've seen people do in shooters online, it's like, why? What the fuck are you doing?
Like, I've learned exploits, and I've, you know, greatly enjoyed learning them, but I've never tried to actually use them against people. Like, Far Cry Instinct's Predator, there's this great glitch where you can get under the world.
Yeah, I've seen that one used a lot, too. Like, it was, like going to the world and have, like, a sniper rifle with, like, aimbot on it or something, so that you just, like, get headshot over and over again from underground, so then you're, like, top of the leaderboards on that server, but you're not really, because you didn't do anything. You just clicked.
Yeah. But, like, I can sometimes understand, like, it's fun to play a single-player campaign and use a bunch of cheats. That's fun.
Those are hilarious. Like, I remember when I was a kid, like, Twisted Metal. I played a bunch of Twisted Metal, and every time just go in there, just infinite ammo, god mode. It was
fucking
hilarious.
Yeah, the one that wasn't fun, though, was stupid AI. It made them just sit there. Why would you want that? But yeah, using god mode, infinite ammo, that shit's fun.
Yeah, like even recently, with Twisted Metal Black, when I played that one, I was just infinite everything on, then just go as Sweet Tooth Robot and just destroy everything.
Yeah, I was the same. Like, not all the time, though. I still played the game properly, but at the same time, it's sometimes fun to use the cheat codes, but not when competing with people online, and not to an extent that it's... Well, it's fun in that because you get to basically just mow down a bunch of dumb AIs with godlike powers, which obviously people find that fun. There's a lot of games based on that.
It is fucking awesome. Like, there's one game, I think it was Destroy All Humans, where, when you play the game, you had the ability to access cheat codes, but, like, I didn't, so I just had to play through the game like normal. The game kind of kicked my ass a bit, but then just, like, I went through and played a second time with cheat codes on, and it was just an entirely different experience. So just infinite ammo, infinite health.
Yeah, honestly, I found Destroy All Humans really fun without cheat codes, and yeah, I also tried playing with cheat codes, and that was fun, too.
Yeah, like, it was fun. Like, it was fun for, like, a few minutes of just, like, alright, so get infinite this, infinite that, set the, the alert rating up to this, let's go. But then it actually, like, had to actually have a challenge to it, in order to make the game fun. But with those exploits, it's just... It makes no sense. Unless that person who uses those exploits or hacks is just, like, really, really bad at the game, is the only way he can actually kill anything. That's just kind of sad.
It is sad. So moving on, Rock Band 2. Moving on.
Oh, God, yeah. You can't really talk about a Rock Band game or a Guitar Hero game, really, anymore.
Nope. So moving on. Call of Duty 3 is the last thing we need to talk about today.
Okay, Call of Duty. Okay, this is just plain old Manila Call of Duty, not any Modern Warfare.
Yes, Call of Duty 3, not Modern Warfare 3, Call of Duty 3.
Yeah, Modern Warfare 3 was very good.
I heard, but you know what? Call of Duty 3 wasn't very good either. It was in this weird transitionary phase. Then again, I didn't play much of it. I played, like, the first few missions of the campaign. Hmm. One interesting thing is I noticed that they alternate they're randomly generated, but they gave all the tanks names of actual servicing tanks in World War II. One of the first tanks I worked with in the game was the Holy Roller.
Okay.
I find this interesting because I have actually stood on top of the Holy Roller. It's in Victoria Park, London.
Okay.
So I just thought that was cool.
Congratulations, you played with one of the tanks that you stood on.
Yes. Okay. I found it quite interesting.
Yeah, not many people can say that.
I don't know how many people would want to say that, but...
Yeah, just wondering, with Call of Duty 3, was that a Treyarch or Infinity Ward? I can't remember like their cycle.
Oh,
because I'm pretty sure, like, back then they were still doing the, like, switching off every couple games, wasn't it? Like, every other game was Treyarch, like, and the, like, the first games were Infinity Ward, and every other one was Treyarch. Were they still doing that back then, or was it just all Infinity Ward?
I have no idea. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's just with the
Treyarch.
Treyarch, okay. Yeah, just looking back and playing some of the games that I played, from the Call of Duty franchise, I feel like Treyarch's gotten better at the Call of Duty games than Infinity Ward has. Like, because I played a bit of Black Ops, and that was really fun, and Modern Warfare 2 was pretty fun, but I feel like some of the Black Ops 1 and 2, well, Black Ops 1 anyway that I played, I think that one was kind of better than Modern Warfare 2.
It was closer to what Call of Duty used to be.
Yeah, like, it was way better than Call of Duty. It was way better than Modern Warfare 3, because fuck that game. It was the snap was way too slow. The aiming felt slower, and everything felt way less fast-paced. It was all just... It didn't feel good to play it.
Yeah, so Call of Duty 3... reasons I find it's in a weird transition. The graphics are sometimes kind of janky and jump around the place. And I believe this is one of the first games to use the whole blood on the face method of health.
The first two games they had health meters in them.
They had health meters. This is where they started, unless they did it in Big Red 1, I don't know. In Call of Duty 3, you've now got the blood on the face routine, where you just have to wait a second and get better from all your bullet wounds.
Regenerating health.
This is the Call of Duty where you turn into Wolverine.
Yeah, thinking back, like, those first two games, they played a lot like Halo, I think.
But a little bit.
Like you couldn't sprint. There wasn't iron sights. Like, melee was on a B button, and the throw grenade was a left trigger.
Yeah. Now this one has a weird fucking control layout.
Okay.
For one, there's no sprint.
Okay. So, like, standard, like, early, like, original Call of Duty.
Yeah. Right stick is melee. Left on the D-pad is your grenade. Right on the D-pad is your smoke grenade.
Okay.
And to throw a grenade back, you have to press and hold X, and then press left on the D-pad after you've picked up the grenade. It takes a while.
Yeah, that... Oh, well, yeah, that seems real bad.
It killed me the first time. I'm like, oh, X is the throwback button. I press and hold X, I'm like... And it's like, Where wasn't the grenade being? Boom! Oh. Oh.
Yeah, was that, like, at that point in the Call of Duty series, did they have a little thing that popped up that said what to do when you, like, if you died from a grenade, it would show, like it would show the little grenade indicator and say on the screen as you were dying, be sure to look out for the grenade indicator.
No, they didn't do that. They just had the quotes.
Wow, that's.
But yeah, I gotta say, the original Call of Duty game, Call of Duty and Call of Duty 2, I love them. The Modern Warfare games, other than 3, which I haven't played, I am at least somewhat fond of.
Yeah.
Call of Duty 3. Really like this too much.
Yeah, was that on this generation of consoles?
It's one of those weird transition ones. It was released for Xbox and Xbox 360, probably PS2 and PS3.
Oh, yeah, that was...
It's games. One of those ones.
Yeah, like that was back before, people really started using the two, the four triggers. Like, the shoulder buttons and the triggers, and, like the Xbox, it had, the black and white buttons on them.
Yeah, the black and white buttons instead of the bumpers.
Yeah, what? And they were put in such a weird position, what was the point of putting the white and black buttons down there? They put them under the right stick. But no, one game did use them. Stubbs the Zombie, it used black and white buttons. I remember that.
Yes, it did, and playing it with the bumpers is wonderful.
Oh yeah, it just kind of hard.
Zombie, I love Stubbs the Zombie.
Coming soon, something with Stubbs the Zombie. Coming soon, something with Stubbs the Zombie.
Let me play that for you, Stubbs the Zombie, in early January.
Or let me ridicule. Who knows? I have the game too. Yeah, I have the game too. I could just do that. Just have us make fun of the game. We need
Why
more
would
ridicules.
Make fun of that work of art.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, but you can still make fun of it. You can make fun of almost anything. Plus, us all a little more involved with stuff. Yeah, but let's not talk about business right here. More video games.
But yeah, so one of the other issues I had with Call of Duty 3. It still has the thing where you can't reload the M1 Grand, which is, it's realistic. You can't force reload that gun. You have to let it run its course. But when it's given to you as the default weapon, most of the time, that's when I start to take issue with it. It's give me the M4A1 carbine. Give me a fucking carbine. I'll take the bolt action over this thing. I want to force reload. I'm a reload whore.
Well, yeah, it's kind of gotten to the point in shooters, in modern shooters nowadays, you have to it's kind of like habit now that you just reload every single time you're done shooting people.
Yeah, and that's the M1 Grand drives me nuts because it's a single shot rifle. I will take that and I will kill someone with a single shot. It's like, okay, time to reload. And then,
God.
When talking about the bolt action rifle, my friend's like, well, it's great, but then if you turn around the corner and you shoot at a German and you miss, then you've got the whole bolt action to go through. But what about the M1 Grand? What if I happen to be on my last bullet and I turn around the corner and I shoot and I miss? Then I've got a much longer reload sequence. And you know what I can't do? I can't hide behind a wall and reload before going to get that German.
Wait, so...
Yeah, the M1 Grand was a bad idea.
What is the M1 Grand? I know I've heard that gun before. I just can't remember.
Okay, it's a semi-automatic rifle that doesn't have a proper magazine. It has what's called a clip, which just is a metal little thing that holds the bullets, and you insert it into the top.
Right, yeah, that gun! That gun!
You cannot reload it until it has spent every single one of its rounds.
I remember using that gun in World at War, and I'm pretty sure you could.
They changed it. They changed it for World at War, but in reality, and for the first three Call of Duty games, you cannot reload it until it has spent all of its rounds.
Yeah, that was back when Call of Duty was, you know, realistic, before they had, like, three nuclear bombs going off around the world, and, like, some guy with an imaginary Russian friend.
When did the imaginary Russian friend come up?
Black Ops.
See, I didn't finish Black Ops storyline. It kind of bugged me after a while, so I just played multiplayer.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've seen a bunch of stuff like for the ending of Black Ops, and it was, yeah, it got weird, real weird.
The thing that bothered me the most going through that storyline is, like, you're sitting in the interrogation room. I won't tell you anything. Now let me tell you everything. It's like, come on, man. It's like, I'm highly trained CIA Black Ops. I won't tell you anything. It's like, but here's the story of exactly what happened, with names and details.
Yeah, but you want to learn about those numbers? Fuck you. No, let me just tell you about those numbers. I have no idea what the numbers were doing.
The great part would be, like, I'd like to see them with the written report just be like, the guy's clearly insane. You honestly expect us to believe he got shot this many times and just waited and got better?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. 15 grenades is a bit much.
Yeah, he's just, like, talking about it, and he's like, I must have killed, like, 27 guys. Like, what, by yourself? Yes. The guy just covers the microphone. This guy's fucking crazy! It's like, okay, well, continue, please. It's like calling, like, the janitors, like the IT guys, just all sitting there eating popcorn, listening to him, laughing at him. Did you know, like, actually, like, in the menu for that game, where, like, there's a TV that says, like, single player, multiplayer stuff, if you alternate the triggers, you can actually get out of the chair.
Really?
Yeah, like, there's actually, like, an old computer in the background where you can actually, like, play text adventure games on it.
Interesting.
Yeah, Treyarch added some weird stuff to the Call of Duty games. Like, with that, and, like, in, Black Ops 2, with the zombie mode and that, it's almost like a Left 4 Dead campaign. Where you are in a place, a bunch of zombies are coming in, you barricade up the windows, but then you, like, have to go and build a thing to then open a door, so then you can, like, continue on and get on the bus, and then continue on, and then, like, ride the bus to a certain point, and then, like, get off, and then run some more, then zombies come in, then, like, alarm goes off or something. It's weird.
Oh, actually, I'm now reminded of something else about Call of Duty 3 I feel I should mention.
Okay.
It's where we start to get the self-aware enemies. The ones who know they're in a video game because they won't shoot anyone else but the player.
Yeah, because I guess... that is so fucking stupid in those games where... Like, you'll have, like, an entire squad of, like, five guys, and every single person will have their sights trained on you.
Now, Call of Duty actually tends to be better with that. The one game that I stopped playing the campaign because of it was Battlefield 3. Like, I just said, fuck this. I'm sick of every person shooting at me. My squad mates are running around, taking off their helmets, you know, doing a hula dance. And, like, I'm prone behind this pillar where you can't even see me. What do? They blow away the fucking pillar and shoot me.
Battlefield 3 is in Call of Duty.
I know, I said Call of Duty is mostly good for it, but I stopped because of Battlefield 3. Like, Call of Duty's not too bad for it, but Battlefield 3 is really bad for it.
It was like the way you were saying it, it was like, you stopped playing Call of Duty because Battlefield 3?
No, I stopped playing Battlefield 3's campaign. Battlefield shouldn't have campaign that much. I mean, honestly, they did better without it with Battlefield 2.
Like, Bad Company had a pretty good campaign. Like, it was still just kind of standard stuff, but it had, like, pretty good characters in it.
I still haven't played it. I need to play Bad Company at some point.
Yeah, they're good games.
But yeah, this makes me want to go on a whole tangent about Battlefield 3, but that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about Call of Duty 3.
But yeah, No, I've pretty much said my piece on it.
Okay, then. Anything else I've been playing?
Not the PlanetSide 2 beta.
Yeah, so that's the thing. So, tell your story, Bovion.
So, I signed up for the PlanetSide 2 beta, and I got accepted. So, I gave them the tech specs of my computer. You know, they accepted me. They sent me my download link. I download it. I go to install. It says there's not enough room. I need at least 5 gigabytes. I look at my drive. There's like 12 gigs on there. It's like, okay, what's going on? I try a few more times, getting very frustrated. Finally, I decide to go online to the forums. And on the forums, I discover that the PlanetSide 2 beta will not install onto a solid-state drive. Then, Onsius gives me this idea. Use a thumb drive. I'm sketchy about whether it'll work, but I decide to try it. Now, the one thing that happens is the installer keeps crashing, but it keeps its progress. So over the course of about 2 days, I keep running the installer and running the installer and getting a bit more progress until finally it's installed on the thumb drive. It won't run off of the thumb drive. Okay. Finally, I get my ultimate brilliant plan of brilliance. I'm going to take it from the thumb drive and just put it on the solid state drive. Just take all the files, move them over. I do that. I open it. It goes to update. Needs at least 5 gigabytes of space.
Oh, God, that must suck, dude.
And, you know, I've ordered my new computer parts, but the beta is over, so I'm never going to get to play that beta.
Well, you'll be able to play the game. When it comes out, I'm pretty sure it's going to be free to play.
Awesome! I should play the free-to-play game.
Yeah, at least I'm pretty sure it's free-to-play, like, with most, like, online, that PC only, like, online-only PC shooters, it's, like, hard to figure out which ones are free-to-play and which ones aren't.
Yeah, I think it's free-to-play. You could get alpha. While the beta was open, you could get alpha for $20.
Cool. Yeah, like, there's actually one game that I really want to play that's, like, first-person, like, multiplayer online-only shooter for the PC, which, since I have ordered my brand-new gaming PC, it will hopefully be here soon. I'll hopefully be able to play it, but there's this one game I really want to play. It's called Natural Selection 2. It sounds really cool. It's a combination RTS and first-person shooter where you play as either humans with guns or weird monsters that kill it, that like, just eat people.
Alright.
Yeah, I saw some gameplay of it, and it looks really cool. Like, people who are just into, like, online shooters, they can just play it like an online shooter. But then there are some people who might be in the more like strategy aspect of it. They'll be able to go into a little area that lets them control, lets them like have like RTS view of the battlefield with like fog of war and everything.
Awesome.
So then they'll be able to go in and set up like they'll be going like place like weapon spawn, like weapon locations, spawn locations, and a whole bunch of other stuff on all over the map, and they'll be able to do this with, like, so they'll be able to help strategically put their soldiers in better positions. They'll be able to, like, get overhead views, so they'll be able to tell their team, or it's, you got a squad of enemies coming in from, like, this area and this area, you guys should, like, be set up here, and have one guy here with a big gun.
Actually, hate to go back to Battlefield, but Battlefield 2 is actually somewhat like that.
Oh, really?
yeah, you could get upgraded to squad and army commander. So if you're the leader of your squad, you could do things like request radar, request different drops and stuff. And you could you have certain perks, and you can do, you know, managing your squad. If you get elected to the army commander, which was my favorite thing to do, by the way, I did not play Battlefield 2 much for the actual shooting of it. I was the tactical guy. I was the one who was setting up the tactics and sneaking in and sabotaging things. And but yeah, if you're the army commander, then basically you've got tactical points that let you keep certain abilities. And you've got things like you've got the radar scan, you've got the spy plane, you can call in artillery strikes, you can call in vehicle drops, and you can use your map to have a tactical overview of the battlefield. So you can take part in the shooting and killing, but you can also help your army do better by calling in the artillery strikes and calling in the vehicle drops and calling in the supply drops and doing the radar scans at the right times.
Cool. Yeah, this is kind of like that, only a little easier to access, because it's just like walking into a room and your guy. But it also has like it also way more sci-fi-y, which is one reason why I really like it. Like the monster designs look really cool. And there's another game that's kind of like it that I want to play. It's not like a mix or anything. It's just humans versus weird creatures. It's Primal Carnage, where it's humans versus dinosaurs, the first-person shooter.
Awesome.
Yeah, you can actually like fly around as a pterodactyl, pick up a guy and just like drop him from really high place and just kill him like that. There are velociraptors. It's real bizarre, but it looks awesome. So at some point, I'm going to see if I'll be able to get my hands on those games. But anyway, yeah, so anything else to be playing? Or was that
That's it.
Okay, cool. So then on to me. So I played a demo for Disney's Epic Mickey 2, The Power of Two. It was a very
How
good.
How was that?
Not very good at all. It's... You can tell immediately this game was ported from a Wii game. Because, so in most games where you have a... So this game you have like a crosshair on the screen that shows like where you're going to be painting, because you have the magic brush that lets you shoot out paint to either create something or thinner to destroy something. Or with enemies, it's paint to turn them onto your side and thinner to melt them into a pile of goo. Because, you know, Mickey's hardcore like that.
No one fucks with Mickey, man.
Yeah. But anyway, so there's a crosshair on screen, and with most games that have a crosshair on screen for that you control with using a right stick, the crosshair stays in the center of the screen, and then as you move it, and then as you move the crosshair, it moves like your view. With this, you move the right stick, it moves the crosshair, but then you have to move the crosshair to the edges of the screen in order to turn. So. If your thing is like direct dead centered, then you hold the stick to the left, and then you have to wait a couple seconds for you to start turning left. It's not good. It just feels horrible and wrong and everything. And like there's platforming aspect to it, and it feels horrible. I'm like the whole painting thing. It's not very clear all the time what you can or can't paint, or thin, I guess. Like, in this one area, so it was in Yen Sid's place, Yen Sid is the sorcerer from the Sorcerer's Apprentice, I believe. He's the guy with the magic hat, and who's the guy who created the brush in the first place. And so you're just running along like that, and then you accidentally summon a bunch of brooms come to life, and start, like, filling up this room with water. Only not really, because they keep pouring water forever, but the water level never rises. Like, there are actually, there are paintings of brooms in there holding buckets that you can actually use thinner on, and then it will reveal a second painting underneath it of those brooms with buckets of water pouring the water out, and water actually starts pouring out of the painting, but nothing ever happens to it. So then I just spent like a good, like, 10 minutes walking around this room trying to figure out what the hell I'm supposed to do. Like, there's a bit where you stand in the middle of it and the left trigger icon appears above your head, so you're like, okay, there's like this big telescope thing in front of you. Okay, so I'm thinning it. Use up one bar. Use up two bars. All my thinner. Nothing happened. What the fuck am I doing? Yeah, so then, here's what you actually had to do. You had to go to the side of where of the area where it actually tells you to pull left trigger, and then you pull left trigger. You had to use thinner on the opposite side of the telescope.
Huh. Like, those seem like some shitty instructions being given.
They were horrible. Yes, but anyway, then you continue on, and then you eventually meet Oswald the Rabbit, who is Disney's pre-Mickey character.
Pre-Mickey.
Yeah, like, Oswald was, like, an original Disney character. He was Disney's guy before Mickey, and they I think they sold off Oswald. And then they replace him with Mickey.
A good move on their part.
Yeah, they look almost identical. Like, they have the same art style. Their ears look like they... Like, Oswald's ears look like he took the Mickey ears and just stretched them out. And his shorts are blue instead of red, but... Yeah, can you just imagine... Just try to picture this. Imagine a world where... Disney is not the House of Mouse, but the House of the Rabbit.
I'm not sure that works.
Yeah, because like we've lived with Disney as the House of Mouse for fucking decades, but just try to picture that as a world without Mickey Mouse and just has Oswald the Rabbit. That'd be a surreal world to live in.
If you knew that it was different, it would be surreal, yeah.
Yeah, but like it. Oh man, that's... But anyway, speaking of Oswald, he's fucking terrible. So the whole point of this game is that, hey, it's multiplayer now, woo! And I'm pretty sure they designed the game to only be played multiplayer, like, the single-player controls are horrible. So like, when I first meet Oswald, I'm told to do something with Oswald. Actually, the second player is told to do something with Oswald, even though I only have one controller plugged into my console. It's like, I'm just sitting there playing single player, and it's like, hey, hey, player two, press this button in order to have Oswald do a thing. It's like, there is no player two. What do I do?
So basically,
what do I do?
It doesn't want you to be playing alone.
No, it doesn't. This game forces you to play with somebody. But like, when if it begrudgingly accepts you playing single player, the controls are horrible. Like, so Oswald, his thing... So with Mickey's thing, it's like, he has a magic paintbrush, and Oswald's thing is, he has a remote control that does science at things. And so, you can, like, kind of give him commands, but not really. Like, if you hold the B button, not press it, hold it, he will come over to you, and then if you do something else weird with it, he'll jump into the air, and, like, use his ears as helicopter blades, because he does that.
He's like Tails, but with ears instead of a tail.
And with no real character to him at all. Yeah, this game's fucking horrible. I can't even get into how bad... Nick, go on.
When you introduce a character just for a two-player game, they're never going to be a good character.
No, but here's the thing. They didn't introduce him in this game. He was in the first game.
Oh.
Yeah, like, he was one of... Like, when you've... So, like, it's like, in the first game, I saw, like, the intro to it. So, when Mickey, breaks into Yen Sid's place, steals his magic brush, accidentally spills, like, poison onto his magical world of Disneyland, not Disneyland, and dives into it, Oswald is in there, strapped to a table, about to be killed by a mad scientist. And then, then as you go along, Oswald keeps showing up every now and then. And then this one's just like, hey, you gotta play as the rabbit. Who the most general public doesn't know. Yeah, it's... This game looked... The original Epic Mickey, it had really good hype behind it. Like, actually, not so much hype as... Well, I don't mean hype, I mean marketing. Like, there was... Like, the image... Just coming to mind, the images that's come to mind when I'm talking about the first Epic Mickey is this really fucked up, like, an animatronic Goofy who looked amazing, and, like, a steampunk version of Disneyland that was, like, all broken to shit, like Mickey standing, like, heroically on, like, a hillside while he just looks over the ruined wasteland of Disneyland. And it was awesome. And then it came out, and it was like, oh, wait, this is terrible. Yeah, it's really a shame that these games turned out as bad as they did, because if they had actually gone with the really dark interpretation of the Disney world, I feel like those games would have been a lot better. Or at the very least, like, tried to, like, went like a kind of Kingdom Heartsy route with it, of just having, like, the Disney world, but having something cool in them. Like, with, like, Kingdom Hearts, those games are so good. I love those games so much. Well, most of them. Except for, like, fucking Chain of Memories, because who the that game was horrible. It was, like, card combat system? What? It's fucking stupid. But anyway, like, with those games, it has, like, the standard Disney worlds in them, but then also has the Heartless and this new character of Sora who, like, introduced new elements into it. And then, like, Disney and, like, Goofy and Donald are there, but they kick ass because Donald can, like, cast fire and Goofy can, like, wipe out an entire room with a shield.
Yeah, well, I've heard really great things about Kingdom Hearts, and it's probably because they use the Disney universe so well.
Yeah, like, I feel like, yeah, and plus, like, Square Enix made those games, so I'm guessing that having a proper game company who's made some pretty good games in the past has actually helped them out a lot.
Probably helps. It's honestly beneficial on both sides, because, like, Final Fantasy is kind of going downhill, so...
But oh,
Disney
well, we
property.
Yeah, but we haven't gotten a new Kingdom Hearts game in years. Well, at least not a proper one. Like, we had this weird prequel thing that came out on the PSP that was okay, but it was weird because it like forced you to play through the game three times. And all the combat mechanics, like, they just felt so sluggish and bad. But anyway, yeah, so Disney Epic Mickey 2, it's not very good. Don't play it. And moving on, I also played some Angry Birds Star Wars. I feel I need to talk about this, because this is... So, here's the thing that's always weird to me with the Angry Birds games. Like, the first few Angry Birds games, like Angry Birds, Angry Birds Space, Angry Birds Seasons, Angry Birds Rio, those were all the exact same game. Like, no matter how you look at it, they were all the same. Then you get into space, and things change drastically with zero-G, new abilities, like, a couple, like new birds, and it all just turned into something really weird, like, with gravity mechanics, specifically. Because it actually got to the point where you had to, like, think about your trajectory of, okay, so we could go straight like this and knock into this, it'll bounce him off, and then he'll do this arc when he gets into the gravity. And it was cool. And then we have Angry Birds Star Wars, which changes it even more. Like, it still has, like, the mechanics of, like, zero gravity and stuff. But it also adds a whole bunch of Star Wars shit. Like, for example, the Red Bird is now Luke Skywalker, where when he's flying through the air, you can just tap the screen, and then he will pull out his lightsaber and destroy everything it touches. Or awesome. you have the Rocket Bird, who, like in previous games, you just flick him, and then, as he's flying along, you tap the screen, and then he gets, like, a boost of speed and just, like, goes a lot faster. With this one, you tap the screen, and wherever you tapped, he shoots it. With the blaster, because he's Han Solo.
Right.
And the Bomb Bird is Obi-Wan Kenobi, where and he's flying through the air, and instead of tapping and exploding, you tap and he force pushes. And, you know, like, the big bird is Chewbacca. I wrote down, actually, a lot of this stuff. I just, let me pull this up. This is a split birds, so you tap the screen and they split into three birds. Those are rebel pilots, which is just something I thought was cool. And then we also have the addition of the C-3PO birds and the R2-D2 birds. So with C-3PO, you launch him, you tap him, and then he explodes. Just explodes. And then pieces of him go everywhere, and they're used as shrapnel. C-3PO is now a suicide bomber. Yeah, C-3PO is a suicide bomber. essentially.
I always thought, like, he was going to go really violent one day.
Yeah. And then R2-D2, fling him into the area, tap him, and then he sends out an electric shock, killing anything within range. It's just really weird, because, and, like, C-3PO and R2-D2, they aren't accessible in the main game. They are playable on bonus stages. And also, Obi-Wan doesn't die. So they have still images that they show every once in a while for the story of Star Wars with birds only. And when you start out, like, the red bird, he is just a red bird, but then you get to a certain point and he gets a lightsaber. And with Obi-Wan Kenobi, you get to the point where he fights Vader, who in this case is a pig. He has his lightsaber out, and then he's fighting, and then the fight just ends, and it's like, oh, wait, what? Is he dead? Then, next level, he comes back, but then all of a sudden his force push is twice as strong. So, yeah, I guess turning into a force ghost gives you a better force push.
Well, Obi-Wan did say, if you strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you can possibly imagine.
But he can't imagine it. It's, hey, you know the Force? Double that. Yeah, it's... Angry Birds Space is really fun. I mean, Angry Birds Star Wars, sorry, is really fun. It adds a lot of new mechanics. The levels that they have are pretty cool. Like, they actually have the trench run. It actually is pretty good because, yeah, Darth Vader actually shows up, and the way his costume was designed, he looked like a TIE bomber. Because he wasn't in a TIE fighter, I know that. Pretty sure it was the bomber.
Yeah, that was the bomber.
Yeah, he actually looks like he's in a bomber. Actually, it just looks like the Darth Vader head with bomber wings on it. Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun game. Rovio is doing some interesting stuff with one of the most simple game mechanics ever. Which I'm not sure how the fan base will actually react to it. Because before, it's been just pull back and launch. But now we have the access of, like, all the different powers, all the different gravity mechanics and everything. And I'm guessing people are going to like it, but there might be one or two people who think it got too complicated.
Yeah, some people are going to like it and some people aren't.
Okay, anyway, Angry Birds Space. It is free on the App Store and on the Google Play Store, so definitely check that shit out. It's awesome. And I think they actually just released an update. I haven't gotten a chance to check it out yet, but I'm pretty sure they just added Hoth to the game, to the free version of the game anyway. Just give me a second to load this up. I actually want to see if Hoth is in this now. Oh, and also, from looking at this thing, you'll be able to unlock Leia at some point.
Any news on what Leia's going to do?
I don't know. I haven't gone that far yet. But yeah, we get to unlock Leia. Oh, and also, so in Angry Birds Space, they introduced the concept of the Space Eagle. Which is pretty much just every single time you boot up the game. It's like, hey, welcome back. Have a Space Eagle. Which means you just tap a thing, you have a button, and then it turns your whatever bird you're on into an egg. You shoot it out, and then you tap the screen, and then wherever it is, a black hole emerges, and then a giant space eagle flies out of it. So then, in Star Wars, they turned that space eagle. I have to sneeze. It's coming, and I'm just gonna close my nose for this just a sec. So anyway, they turned the space eagle into the Millennium Falcon.
So I'm guessing it comes out of, like, warp space, then?
No, actually, it just comes out of the side of the screen and then shoots. Like with the Space Eagle, you tap it, and then the black hole opens up. With this one, you tap it, and then the targeted reticle shows up on screen, and the Millennium Falcon just flies in out of nowhere with a slingshot on the top of it, and it just shoots lasers down. And that's it. It can be helpful, but it's not as helpful as the Space Eagle. But so, that does it for what we've been playing. On to news. So, first up, a good piece of news from Square Enix. So, if you're like me, you hate the idea of online passes. Like, really hate them. Just blocking off a huge chunk of content for anyone who doesn't buy the game brand new is bullshit.
Yes, it is.
It seems that Square Enix might agree with us, because they have recently announced that the contracts mode in Hitman Absolution, which was originally planned to be accessible through an online pass, will not be accessible only through an online pass. It'll be available to everyone for free.
That is excellent news.
Yeah, so North American players will just have access to the contracts mode right at the title screen, but then people in other regions can either redeem the code, which still comes in the game box, or they can select buy contracts pass, where it'll be available for free.
So obviously they were set up to do this bypass, but suddenly had a change of heart.
Yes, exactly. They were originally going to charge people like $10 for it. I think they didn't. I don't think they ever actually made a like proper announcement about whether they're going to be doing this. But it would probably have been around $10, and now they're not doing it. And now I like Square Enix that much more. So moving on to our next piece of news, Sony confirmed today that Uncharted would be getting a turn-based card game for the Vita.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, so the game is called Uncharted Fight for Fortune, and it's going to be coming out on December 4th for $5. So in the game, players will create a team of faction cards based on characters from the game. They use this deck to defeat opponents while defending themselves from attacks. Also, apparently, this game ties into another Uncharted Vita game, Golden Abyss. So Sony is currently making a patch for Golden Abyss that will enable the artifacts players find in that game to be used in Fight for Fortune. But people who don't own Golden Abyss can still play Fight for Fortune. Thank God I don't need to have bought this other game to play this card game, which I don't even know how it works. Like, is it like that weird game that came out the PS3 a while ago where you just like put the Vita in a certain position that has the camera facing down and you just have like a play mat that you put all your cards on and you play it like that with like using the camera for augmented reality, or is it just virtual cards?
Probably going to be virtual cards.
Oh god, that's so stupid. Like, what's the point?
Yep.
Like, what is the fucking point? Oh well, moving on. So, the Omega DLC for Mass Effect 3 is going to be coming out on Xbox 360, PS3, and PC later this month on November 27th for $15 or 1,200 Microsoft points. And it looks like this DLC will not be coming out on Nintendo Wii U. So,
sorry, Nintendo.
Yeah, so EA confirmed this earlier today, and they did a bunch of Twitter responses with people asking them, and EA wasn't able to say whether or not the DLC will ever be available. They weren't sure. And the publisher also said that they were, quote, unable to confirm whether or not Mass Effect 1 or 2 would be coming to the Wii U. So, Mass Effect 3 players on the Wii U will not be able to play Mass Effect 1 or 2 or the new Omega DLC.
So you just get Mass Effect 3 on its own.
There's still one or two pieces of DLC that they will be getting. They just won't be getting the Omega DLC. So Wii U Mass Effect 3 players now on the same level as PS3 Skyrim players. So anywho,
did PS3 get Dawnguard?
I don't fucking know.
But yeah, good comparison.
Yeah. So anyway, Tim Schafer's company Double Fine, along with Humble Bundle, who are the guys who do those awesome bundles, have started up Amnesia Fortnite. This is a new version of something that Double Fine Studios did a while back. So, Amnesia Fortnite is something that Double Fine Studios does. It's essentially an internal game jam, where they divide the group into they divide the studio into teams, and then each of those teams has 2 weeks to build a game. And then whichever games Tim Schafer liked the best, those games will be made into proper, like, full-on studio releases. So Costume Quest, I believe Stacked and Iron Brigade, those were games that came out of the Amnesia Fortnite. So now Tim Schafer and Double Fine are opening this up to the public, where people will be able to go to humblebundle.com/double-fine, donate to whichever program, like, game that they want to see get made, and then also be able to play those games and actually see how they're being developed. So you're able to go on there, contribute, and then vote for your favorite game idea for the first week. At the time this is posted, you'll have 5 days left to vote. Then Double Fine will be creating prototypes of the top four of those ideas voted by us, the viewers, and then live stream the process, which will be happening for the second and third weeks. And then contributors will get to download the final prototypes for Windows with Steam keys, and they'll get two prototypes from past game jams, which will be Happy Song and Costume Quest. So the filming of all these things will be done by Two Players Productions, who are the guys who did Indie Game the Movie. And yeah, it's a really cool idea, where it's essentially it's just giving the people out there, the fans of Double Fine Studios, it gives them, like, veto power over what games they want Double Fine to make.
Yeah, and it's a really good way to involve your fans in what you make.
Yeah, it really is.
Which is something we'd love to do. You guys talk to us.
Yeah, so it looks like the current top four games are, let's see here, Hack and Slash, which is a project by Brandon Dillon. Space Base DF9, which is a project from J.P. LeBrenton. The White Birch by Andy Wood. Autonomous by Lee Petty. And I figure I'll do one more because this is the one I actually want to talk about. Kaiju Pile Driver by Brad Muir. So Kaiju, for those who don't know, is giant Japanese monsters. This is a game where you play as one.
All right.
Yeah, I really like the title. And Brad Muir, I watch a lot of Double Fine stuff, and Brad Muir's on there a lot, so I really like him. So that's what I'm going to be voting for. So like I said, there are 23 products available, and you can check them all out at humblebundle.com/double-fine. I'll be posting a link in the description for this, so you can check that out. And please, contribute and vote. These all sound like really awesome projects, and these are going to get made. Some of these are going to get made, so yeah, contribute and vote. So, moving on to our next weird piece of news. So, people who bought the Wii U, if they wanted to create an account, like a Nintendo ID account, for their kids, are required to pay a one-time 50-cent fee with their credit card to provide consent for minors to access the Nintendo network.
A 50-cent fee?
Charged to your credit card. I don't even know what the hell is going on.
I'm guessing it's to prove that you're an actual parent, because some people for, like, Xbox Live would be like, oh yeah, I'll give you my parents' email. Let me go just make an email account.
Oh god, yeah, it's just... 50 cent fee, like, seriously. 50 cents, like, what the fuck?
I'd spend that on a recycling fee for my new hard drive.
Did you have to pay? Is that, like, recycling fee? That's like on top of stuff. This is just, hey, you want to create an account? Pay 50 cents.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's meant as a way to stop kids from consenting themselves. That way they're confirming that the person who's giving consent has a credit card.
Okay, oh, it's fucking stupid. But anyway, moving on to less retarded news. So, a disk printing error on Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for the PC has resulted in like 1,000 players getting a copy of Mass Effect 2 with Black Ops 2. Yep. So Call of Duty Black Ops 2 on the PC comes on 2 discs, and when putting in the second disc, and they boot it up, and it would launch the installer for Mass Effect 2. Which, I don't even know how you fuck up that bad, because Call of Duty Black Ops 2 and Mass Effect 2 are made by different developers and published by different publishers.
And are two very different games. But yeah, definitely, published at different publishers is the one thing you should really notice.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, so BioWare has been made aware of this issue and have released the following statement on their blog, anyway. Rumor has it that about 1,000 customers who purchased Call of Duty Black Ops 2 for PC today were also treated to a surprise copy of Mass Effect 2. If you were one of the affected, chances are you thought it was a mistake, but we prefer that to think of it. Well, we prefer to think that it was an omen, and when the universe talks, you should listen. If the universe thinks you should be playing Mass Effect right now, who are we to argue? In fact, we want to help. The first 50 fans affected by this phenomenon to send us a picture holding their special disc 2 will receive a code for a free PC copy of the Mass Effect trilogy.
Wow, how nice of them.
Yeah, like, it is kind of them, like, capitalizing on this mistake, but it's still fucking awesome that they're doing this. So I'm not sure if BioWare has gotten their 50 pictures in yet, but if you're one of the 1,000 people affected by this, then please send in your picture to Mass Effect, send in your picture to BioWare, and get yourself the entire Mass Effect trilogy. It's a really bizarre fuck up, but it's a really great response from BioWare, which I'm actually surprised Activision hasn't said anything about it.
Activision.
Yeah. So, anyway, moving on. So, the first piece of DLC for the Devil May Cry remake, DMC, or I guess reboot, features Dante's twin brother Virgil as the playable character. So, the add-on, which is called Virgil's Downfall, will have its own unique storyline and come with all new weapons, locations, enemies, and combos. It will be available shortly after launch, according to Capcom, and will run you 720 Microsoft points on the Xbox 360, or about $9 on the PS3. If you're in North America and you got the game through GameStop, then you pre-ordered the game through GameStop, you will have gotten a free download code for the content. So Devil May Cry, DMC, is going to be available on the Xbox 360 and PS3 on January 15th, 2013 in North America and Europe, and it'll be coming to the PC sometime after that. So, more BioWare news. It's been announced that BioWare Montreal is currently developing Mass Effect 4.
All right.
Yeah, so Mass Effects 1 through 3 were developed by BioWare Edmonton, their main studio. And now it has moved over to Montreal studio. Montreal has worked on the Mass Effect series quite a bit. They made half the cinematics for the second game, as well as most of the N7 missions and post-release content. And for Mass Effect 3, they worked on parts of the single-player campaign and the entirety of the multiplayer, and they also made the Omega DLC.
Yeah, so up on that, because I was about to nail that myself.
Yeah. So the blog post which announced this went on to say that on top of the studio switch, they're also doing an engine switch. While the original trilogy ran on Unreal Engine 3, this new trilogy will be running on Frostbite 2, which is also being used by the Dragon Age 3 team. And Mass Effect 4 are actually going to be taking some of the like systems and stuff that were designed by the Dragon Age team and use them in Mass Effect 4. So that'd be cool. So Casey Hudson, who is the project manager for like the entire Mass Effect series, will still have a role in the development of this new game. He'll be serving as an executive producer for the game while he's in Edmonton, and a different project director for this game will be handling the day-to-day stuff over in Montreal. This could be a really good thing for the Mass Effect series. Like, playing that through Mass Effect 3, it is not as good as 2. And, like, so giving it to a new group of people who actually still have like a huge love and respect, I'm guessing, for this series, and plus giving them a new engine to play with, it'll change things up in the series, hopefully in a way that will like make things a bit more interesting now.
Yeah, hopefully the Frostbite 2 engine works well with the game.
Yeah, like I've seen some of the games the Frostbite 2 engine has come out on, and they all look fantastic.
Yeah, the only thing though is that the Frostbite 2 engine is very much about being able to destroy your surroundings, and Mass Effect is very much a cover-based shooter.
Yeah, still they could still pull something off awesome with it.
Yeah, they still could. They still could.
That was a weird sentence. They could still pull something off awesome with it. Sorry, I'm kind of tired.
So am I.
I got 4 hours of sleep last night. But anyway, moving on. So, Origin got an update recently, which the main thing for it is that it now has integrated Twitch streaming into it. So with this, instead of using a different application like XSplit or Flash Media Encoder, the game and streaming can be handled through Origin completely. All you need to do is just set up your things properly, and then just hit a button, and then you'll be streaming. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it definitely adds some simplicity.
Yeah, and then on top of this, they have also added the ability to add non-EA games onto the Origin library. So you'll possibly be able to stream even more of your games. Like, if you have a bunch of Steam games, you might be able to register them on Origin, and they'd be able to live stream them through Origin. Which would be really cool.
Yeah, it would make Origin, you know, worthwhile.
Yeah. And you know, not just EA's attempt to fuck up Steam. But yeah, it's going to be cool. So, moving on. It's been announced that Grand Theft Auto V will have 3 main protagonists instead of just one, like the previous GTA games.
Okay, I guess they're trying something new at least.
Yeah. It's something. Anyway. So, players who play Halo 4 Infinity Multiplayer, if you play enough of it, you could get paid. So, Microsoft has announced that a scoring scale, basically, of Halo 4 multiplayer. So if you play 35 plus hours of Halo 4 multiplayer, you'll be getting 100 Microsoft points. If you play over 70, you'll get 300. If you play over 140, you'll get 600. There'll be an additional 200 if you spend over 3,000 Microsoft points on the Halo marketplace. But if you just spend 1,500, you'll only get 100. So yeah, Microsoft has said that there is a total of 10 million points that Microsoft is offering across all players, and these will be dished out in a first come first serve basis. Interesting thing, if you were playing from launch day, that would mean you'd have to play. You have to play over 6 hours of Halo 4 multiplayer a day. Yeah. Also, probably should have mentioned this earlier, but this offer is only available until the end of November. So, from the time Halo 4 came out till the end of November, you have to play over 6 hours of Halo 4 multiplayer a day in order to get the 600 points. Seems excessive. So, moving on. Ubisoft has announced that the Assassin's Creed Anthology will be coming to Europe. The Anthology will be a collection of all 5 Assassin's Creed games, including Assassin's Creed 1, Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and Assassin's Creed Revelations, and the recently released Assassin's Creed 3. This package will also come with every piece of DLC, from the games, including the Assassin's Creed 3 Season Pass, a lithograph of each game for a total of 5 lithographs, and a steelbook to keep all the games in. So, you know, it's a cool idea. It's just a bit weird they're announcing it right now with having Assassin's Creed 3 just coming out, and the Ezio Trilogy collection, which will be coming out very soon. And here's the even weirder thing. It is exclusive to Europe. That's it. It's not coming out anywhere else. Just Europe. It's weird. Well, anyway, anyone in Europe who actually wants this, it'll be it's being sold exclusively through European Amazon sites and will be available for the PS3 and 360. It'll be available on the PS3 and 360 in the UK on November 30th for £120, and it'll be available throughout the rest of Europe on November 29th for €150. Final piece of news. So earlier this year, it was announced that Shinji Mikami will be working on a new game that is codenamed Zwei. It's a survival horror game that he's developing with his new game company, Tango Gameworks, and will be published by Bethesda. Since then, we haven't really heard much news about it, but now we have. It was recently revealed that Zwei will be Mikami's last work in the games industry as a director. What this means, we don't really know yet, because he's worked as a writer, a producer, an executive producer, an executive director, a creative producer, an advisor, an executive advisor, a supervisor, a background modeler, and just a straight-up designer on previous games, so we don't know if he'll keep working in those capacities on further projects, or if this will just be his last work, period. But either way, it could be really cool. I hope the game turns out well. Like, I'm not that big a fan of survival horror games, but I really liked Resident Evil 4, and he made that, so... Hey, here's hoping it turns out well. No word has been given for platforms or release date for Project Zwei. So that does it for news. On to new release. Welcome back. Sorry about that. Bobby Wan passed out.
My room is an oven.
So, yeah, it's time for new releases. So, coming out this week, the week of November 20th, we have Assassin's Creed 3 coming out for the PC and Wii U. Hitman Absolution coming out for the PS3. And I guess in the 360 as well sometime this week. PlanetSide 2 for the PC. And a whole fuck ton of Wii U games. Because this is the Wii U launch week. So, woo. Wii U.
Yeah, because I'm totally going to play all those games. I'm totally going to go buy a Wii U at launch.
Oh, totally. Totally. And then coming out next week, the week of November 27th, Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault for the PS3 and Vita. Oh, and Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition for the PC and iPhone. Well, iProducts, I guess. Sorry we don't have more if you care, but my regular site where I got my new releases wouldn't load. So sorry about that. But anyway, that's gonna do it for this week. Thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow the site on Twitter, you can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I am at Deadman_DDProds. We have at Bovywan, and while he is not here, you can follow Onciest at Corey Ray with a W in the Ray. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/deathstoreprods. Subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/deathstoreprodsvids for myself, youtube.com/bobywan for bobywan, and youtube.com/theonciest for onciest. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us some reviews, let us know we want to see more of, less of, etc. So for this week on the website, on Thursday we're going to be having the anime podcast as well as the anime club supplement. This week we're going to be watching the first episode of Dead Man Wonderland. And at some point this week, Patrick will be posting his Aimless Wanderings article. Sorry I didn't post my personal issues article from last week, if you guys care about that. It just got me too depressed, so I couldn't actually finish it, so fuck it. Anyway, then on Friday we're going to be having the commentary track for SpongeBob SquarePants the Movie, part of TV Movie Month. Then on Sunday we're going to be having the Anything Cast Live. Please join us at allgames.com/chat. We'd love to talk to you guys. And then next week, comics on Wednesday with personal issues that week, because I'll be writing something that doesn't make me horribly depressed. Movies on Friday, and the commentary track for Blues Brothers to wrap up TV Movie Month. So, until all that, I'm the Dead Man.
I'm Obi-Wan.
We will see you guys next time.